Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from the one who is our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God and Son of Man. Again, our reading for this morning are those words from the gospel lesson from Mark chapter 8, beginning at verse 27. And Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they told him, "John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and others one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Christ." And he strictly charged them to tell no one about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after the third day rise again. And he said this plainly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." And calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it." So far, the sermon text. Let us pray. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Fellow redeemed in Christ, does it matter what people say about you? Many these days say that because you're a Christian, you're a stodgy throwback to an era of ignorance and bigotry and discrimination. You're an unenlightened hypocrite. Hear this a lot on the news today. Many of these days will say that you hold so dear, say that the things that you hold so dear are not important. But does it matter what they think you are? Is not the truth more important than what they say you are? Did it matter what they had to say about Jesus? They said all kinds of things about him. Sometimes they praised him for his miracles and thought that he was there to heal the sick. Some thought he might be their savior from the oppressive Romans or from the religious establishment of Israel. Sometimes people thought he was a madman whose idea of himself was weirdly inflated. But did it really matter who they thought he was? The truth was more important than what people thought. Almost every year in our cycle of readings for church here, we consider Peter's great confession. But this year we're going to look at it from a little bit different angle than we normally do. Today, Jesus leads us to a crucial conclusion as we consider the truth. But who do you say that I am? And Peter, bold Peter, of course, gave the reply to that one, his marvelous confession of faith. I'm going to quote it from the other Gospels here, give you a little more. He said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." But this morning, let us look into the Word and see where this confession of faith ultimately leads, because it is our confession of faith too. Now notice that Jesus does not reject what Peter confessed. But at that moment, in his work here on earth, he knew that many of those who didn't already believe among the children of Israel, they would misunderstand. And so he strictly charged them to tell no one about him. Clearly, Jesus claims to be the Messiah. But to his countrymen, the Messiah had become something very different than what God had revealed in the Old Testament. God had said that the Messiah would come to save his people from sin, to crush the serpent's head, that is Satan. But to the Jews of Jesus' day, Messiah meant something very different. It meant a political figure, a warrior king like David, or a glorious king like Solomon, somebody who would restore Israel to its rightful place as a leading nation in the world. Messiah meant someone who would save them from the Romans, crush Rome's head, Caesar. Clearly, Jesus claims also here to be the Son of God. But to his countrymen, that claim would be seen as blasphemy, as speaking against the one true God. Because Jesus was obviously a human being. They paid no attention to the prophecies of God that his son would be born of a virgin in Bethlehem in Judea. God gave many specifics so that people would know his plan to send his own son to be the sacrifice for the world. Jesus claimed to be God in the flesh, but they could not accept it. They would not accept it. It didn't make reasonable sense to them. Clearly, people could see that Jesus was making these claims. Jesus didn't deny Peter's words. Jesus' actions prove that he was the one sent by God to be our Savior. But this is why they had their various opinions about him. They could accept the part of what he said that made sense to them, but they refused the rest. They refused what didn't make sense to them. Notice what people were saying. Some thought that he was John the Baptist. John was the last Old Testament prophet. He preached a message of repentance and baptism for the forgiveness of sins. He preached that the kingdom of God was close at hand. Of course, Jesus was preaching repentance too. And they saw the resemblance in the message. But they ignored John's powerful testimony about Jesus when he pointed to him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." The very King of Kings was among them. But they paid John no mind. And they saw Jesus at best as a teacher or another forerunner of the Messiah. But Jesus was no forerunner. Others said, well, he must be Elijah or one of the prophets. Just remember how blessed the people of Israel were that they had the real prophets of God to speak his word among them and to give them the promises of God about the Messiah. Isaiah wrote about the Messiah, saving from sin, becoming the sacrifice for all sin, receiving in his own body the punishment for the sins of the world, to pay for them completely. Jeremiah prophesied to Israel that they should turn from their false ideas by repentance and receive the forgiveness of sins by faith in that promised Messiah. And all the other prophets too, Daniel and Jonah and Hosea and Joel and Amos and Obadiah and Micah and Nahum and Habakkuk, Zephaniah and Haggai and Zechariah and Malachi, and there were others not named. Even Moses and Job, David and Solomon, they all pointed to the Messiah, the real one, and revealed what God would give them. the promised one. They were all forerunners, but not Jesus. That's what Israel tried to make Jesus out to be, a forerunner, because they couldn't believe what the prophets had said. They couldn't believe what Jesus said about himself. Jesus wasn't pointing ahead to someone who was yet to come. He was pointing to himself. John and all the prophets pointed to him. But for Israel, it seemed to them that their aim was a little off, to the right or to the left. And thus, Israel missed the mark every time when it came to knowing the Savior. And that, dear Christians, is the very definition, the very picture of the word sin. It means to miss the mark, to not hit the bullseye. And that, dear Christians, is the definition and nature of sin. Their sin turned aside their understanding of what the Word of God said to what they wanted to hear. An easier message for them to swallow. And so they did not reach that crucial conclusion. Their sin wouldn't let them hear of Jesus' perfect life and see that life played out right before them. Their sin wouldn't let them hear Jesus' perfect words and see that they were perfectly in accord with everything God had said. He called himself the Son of Man for a reason. He had to suffer many things, it says. Think of his temptation by Satan in the wilderness. Think of his life without a place to lay his head. Think of how he was rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes. Think of all the events in his life leading step by deliberate step toward that cross on Calvary. He was going there like an archer's arrow straight to the bullseye to give up his life as a ransom for us all. Where Israel missed the mark, and where we missed the mark, he would not. But it meant being the Son of Man. And then on the third day, what do we see? He did this, and not another. He rose again. No doctor yelling, clear, or anything like that. He raised himself from the dead. He laid down his life on the cross. He took it up again, as only God can, because he is the Son of Man and the Son of God. But their sin would not let them hear Jesus' perfect thoughts, that God's perfect justice needed to be satisfied on their behalf, and that the punishment needed to be taken on their behalf. Even death died on their behalf. And ironically, their sin eventually led them to do the very thing that needed to be done, to crucify the Lord of glory. And yet still, they did not see the truth. Even as he was crucified, even after he died and was laid in the tomb, even after he rose from the dead and appeared to the disciples and then to even more than 500 people, they would not believe that Jesus was the Messiah and that he had given his life as a ransom for them all. They couldn't see it because they would not believe what God had said. They would not believe that he is merciful even as he is just. They would not believe the conclusion that God was leading them toward with Jesus' every breath and every action. They couldn't reach the crucial conclusion because they rejected it. And in fact, none of us can reach that crucial conclusion about who Jesus really is apart from the work of God in our hearts by his Holy Spirit. We can't reach that conclusion that Jesus is the Savior, that he is the Son of God, that he is the Son of Man, immortal and mortal in one, and that he gave his life to to pay for us, to win heaven for us. We can't reach that crucial conclusion ourselves. We cannot follow Jesus by our own reason or strength. If it weren't for the work of God, the Holy Spirit, we would follow that old broad path that leads to destruction. And it seems like the right way, it seems that way to natural man, but it leads to destruction. Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And this is perhaps the very reason why many who hear his word fall away from it. Why many turn away to the right or to the left to an easier path. Because Jesus' path is one of self-denial. A path that doesn't lead to the kind of life we naturally want for ourselves, a comfortable life. Following Jesus means suffering some of the same things that he suffered, enduring some of the same hardships that he endured. None of what Jesus says seems to make any sense to natural man. Who among us would want to go on that lonely path that he trod? Who among us would want to deny himself or herself? Who among us would want to take up his cross and follow him to Golgotha to have our hopes and dreams extinguished in torture and death? That's what it sounds like to us. And if this were all that Jesus promised, none of us would follow after him. But he said much more, and we must always be willing to hear what God has to say before we draw a conclusion. This is what the Spirit of God has done in our hearts. For we have also heard the good news, the gospel. We've heard that the tomb was empty on Easter. We've heard the eyewitness testimony of his appearances. We've heard them speak of his glorious ascension, God and man in one, to heaven to rule over all things for the good of those who love him. And we've seen it play out in our lives of faith countless times, though we still don't truly and fully understand it all. The Spirit has given us faith. He's washed us clean in the waters of baptism, put God's name upon us, made us God's children and heirs, so that we hold on to the Word of God, so that the truth of Jesus becomes known to us, though for the time being still dimly, as though in a mirror, like Paul says. So yes, following Jesus is difficult, and it's counter to our nature, but God has provided us with faith and strength through his word and sacraments, so that by his grace we see where it's all leading. By faith, Jesus has led us to the crucial conclusion, for whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. We seem like such fools in all the eyes of the world, following Jesus, losing our lives in him, giving ourselves as living sacrifices to God, as Peter says. We seem such fools to ourselves sometimes, to our old nature, for it would say, and it does say all the time in our hearts, that we should set our sights a little to the right or to the left, to preserve something at least for ourselves. Does it matter, though? Does it matter what the voices of the world say? Well, it can hurt and damage us, but those misguided voices will never establish the truth. The truth stands above all of it. The truth is established by God. Is it any wonder that Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. That's why Jesus himself, the only true God, sent his Spirit to give us faith and to comfort us with the truth. This is why Jesus comes to restore the truth to us over and over again when in our weakness we falter, not just with the words of forgiveness, but even with his own body and blood in the sacrament. The same body and blood that paid the price on the cross for us, the same body and blood that passed through death to eternal life to open the gates of heaven for us, the same body and blood that rules forever for our good. He is our life and our salvation, and we have his forgiveness. This is the truth about Jesus and about you, fellow redeemed. How much better than the misguided, sinful thoughts that would make him out to just be a man and maybe a good teacher? How much better than the selfish motives we struggle against every day? So let us stand with Peter, with bold Peter and the rest of the disciples, and confess, yes, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.